Father, bless these words in Jesus' name. Today we're going to continue in the series that we started regarding creation in Genesis chapter 1. Creation is attacked because the Word of God is attacked. If you can discredit creation, then you discredit the Bible. The world recognizes that if the creation account is not true, then the Bible is not reliable. But we know, both through faith and through evidence, through the witness of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, that the creation account is in fact as God said it was. The Word of God is infallible. It makes no mistakes. It gives no suggestions. It gives me the mind of Christ. The Word of God is quick and it's powerful. There is power in the Word. There is power for healing. There is power for deliverance. There is power for salvation of a soul. Think of that, the power that is in the Word, that by the Word, a soul is taken out of the kingdom of Satan, out of an eternity in hell, and that soul is taken out of that and put into the kingdom of God, into an eternity with the Savior, simply by the Word. By the Word, the universe was created. By the Word, I was made. And by the Word, I continue to be made. The Word is indeed powerful. If I don't have the Word, doesn't matter what I have, it's worthless. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Kingdoms are governments. What that is saying is seek first the government of the Word of God in your life, not as a law, but as the Holy Spirit brings in. Remember, the letter kills. But put the Word into the hands of the Spirit, and let the Holy Spirit in John 16:30 guide you in all truth, and it becomes life to you. The Word of God created. And so if I can disqualify Genesis chapter 1, then in truth I disqualify the entirety of the Bible. But if Genesis chapter 1 is true, then those who would disqualify the account of God regarding what He did, which is kind of stupid if you think about it, I mean, God said, this is what I did. An arrogant man says, no, you didn't. We did it ourselves. It did it on its own. The universe just came into being. That is perhaps one of the most ignorant statements anyone has ever made in the history of mankind. The thing cannot say I have made myself. But yet, this is what the so-called scientific community is saying to us. And they say that the creation account is not scientific because they cannot put it under a microscope. Can you put the Big Bang under a microscope? And then they say, well, then we can observe the remnants. We can observe the remnants of creation. We can observe the fact that there is a Cambrian explosion in which all organisms not appeared but died at the same time. Fossils are not formed at the appearance of an organism. Fossils are formed at the death of an organism. The Word of God tells us how it is that the Cambrian explosion is even all over the world. Secular science says, well, maybe there's a meteorite. Maybe. Why? Because there's a caldera. And where there's a caldera, there could be a meteorite. Yeah, it could also be an imploded volcano in a region that is littered with imploded volcanoes. Yellowstone National Park is an imploded volcano. It's a caldera. So the fact that next door there would be another caldera, well, that's not very scientific. No, a meteorite did it. Well, that would explain a great deal of extinction around the Gulf of Mexico where they think it hit. But it certainly wouldn't explain why there is a great deal of extinction, the same level of extinction in China. Or in India and other places on the opposite side of the globe. So we need to understand, if we are going to understand the finished work, we need to understand creation. And so we're going to talk about the fourth day of creation. In Genesis 1:14, turn there in your Bibles, please. The Word of God says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night." Now, day and night had been described during the first 3 days also. But as we have mentioned, day and night is not defined by sunup and sundown. Day and night is defined by the rotation of the planet. And so, on the first 3 days, it is talking about the rotation of the planet. And we mentioned in earlier messages on this topic that in Genesis chapter 1, in the first day of creation, when the light was separated from darkness and it was called day and night, this is not talking about the day and night that we think of as time of sunlight and time of dark when the moon and the stars are out. This is talking about the separation of the kingdoms, and the kingdoms are called day and night. This here in Genesis 1:14 is also called day and night. And we find this to be so in Revelation 21:25, where the Word of God describes heaven, the New Jerusalem, as it will be after the new heaven and the new earth are formed. The Word of God says, "There shall be no night there." And in Revelation 22:5, again, "And there shall be no night there. And they will have no need of candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." So both in the New Jerusalem and in the new heaven and earth, there will be no more night time. Now, why is that? Because in Psalm chapter 19, the Word of God is written both in the Bible and in nature. The first 6 verses of Psalm 19 spell out for us just how creation and the heavens declare the glory of God. How the Word of God is proclaimed in creation and in the positioning of the stars. For signs and for seasons, we won't go into that today. We'll do that another time. But for signs and for seasons is not talking about signs or seasons of the year or of a century or whatever or of the day. It is talking about the events of the gospel. And these events are well understood, although today's reading of the stars is a profound perversion that does not even remotely resemble what it was given by God to be. But they divide the day from the night. What is this? This is talking about the separation of the kingdom of light from the kingdom of darkness. The Word of God in the formation of the day and night is teaching us about the kingdoms. At this present time, the kingdoms follow each other. In other words, they are in a conflict. The kingdom of God initiates something. The kingdom of darkness comes and tries to eliminate it. Then the kingdom of darkness initiates something, and the kingdom of God comes to eliminate it. And they have this conflict of the ages that is described in Revelation chapter 12, whereby the two kingdoms are clashing. After the great white throne judgment, when there is a new heaven and a new earth, there will be no more need for night, because the kingdom of darkness will have been finally, once and for all, eradicated. And so now, there will only be day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven. God created on the fourth day the cosmos. God did not create the cosmos and then the earth. God created the earth and then the cosmos. God created the earth and the space it was contained with, but there was nothing else contained in that space for 3 days. On the fourth day, God put the stars into their courses, and then He had put everything just so, in precise patterns and precise order, to demonstrate the glory of God, to proclaim His glory. Now, the evolutionary crowd, and when I say evolutionary crowd, I'm not talking about merely biological evolution, but the crowd that adheres to the notion of cosmic and biological evolution, says that the solar system, the stars, even the galaxies originated after the Big Bang. Nobody knows how long. Nobody knows for what duration the events took place or when they took place. But some period of time after the Big Bang, presumably very long periods of time, because they know things cannot happen like this in short periods of time. And so presumably long periods of time, the space cloud started to aggregate and dust particles started to come together in space, and somehow they all coagulated and formed the stars and the solar systems that are throughout the universe, the galaxies, and so on. Now, there is no actual evidence that this took place. There is nothing out there that points to this. And even those who say that you can see the edge of time and the formation of the universe at the very edges of the universe, they are not looking at anything that would be resembling a space cloud coming together in such a way as to form galaxies or even a planet. So there is no evidence for this theory. It is simply a theory because it's something to believe on. You know, it takes a whole lot more faith to believe in evolution than it does in the Bible. But the Word of God says that that's not how it happened. Now, Harold Schlosser, who is a physicist, used to be at the University of El Paso. He's now with ICR, the Institute for Creation Research, for those who do not know on the internet what that is, said this: space dust forms when molecules and atoms collide and stick together. Okay, that's how it forms. Now, this process, he says, is extremely slow, and under the most optimal conditions that do not actually exist. But under those conditions, if you were to have a particle of space dust that was 1/100,000th of a centimeter in size, it would take 3 billion years to form. That's for a particle of space dust 1/100,000th centimeters in size. Now, they are telling us that our solar system is 4.5 billion years old. But the very first particle of dust and these little particles of dust take about 3 billion years to form. They're not giving us enough age here. We need to be older than that. Now, the actual the conditions for that to happen don't actually exist. Space is a much more hostile environment than that. There are other problems, of course, such as space dust crashing into space dust does not necessarily mean bigger space dust. Space dust crashing into space dust very frequently means smaller space dust, as particles are torn apart as other particles collide and fly through them. Can you imagine somebody being shot and the bullet becomes a part of their shoulder? This is what we are being told. This thing came by basically like a gunshot, collided with this other thing, and now they form this bigger unit. Now, the universe is extremely orderly. So all of these little tiny particles of space dust must have come together in an extremely precise and orderly fashion as they were colliding. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I've never seen an explosion produce anything that was orderly. I usually see explosions when you see them produce things that are disorderly. Harold Schlosser likened it to a volcano erupting, the Big Bang, the volcano erupting and forming a city. There is a great deal of order in the universe. Disorder is the natural process. Order is what is existence. So when you give me a process that is inherently very disorderly and tell me that this process produced order, I tend to think that you don't know what you're talking about, or at least your account is lacking. And evolutionists will tell you, will readily admit, their account is lacking. Andrew Lang, a Berkeley physicist, made this statement to this effect: the universe that is does not reflect the Big Bang. And he said, it is not reconcilable what the theory says to the universe that is. Now, Andrew Lang, as far as I know, is not a believer in creation as the Bible describes it. But he does recognize the obvious, that the universe that is does not resemble something that could be produced by a Big Bang. And he does recognize that there is no actual reconciliation between the theory and the reality. Now, this man, as far as I know, is not a believer. Maybe he is now, but I'm not aware of it. When I saw an interview in which he was talking about it, it didn't appear that he was a believer. But he did see that there is a difference from the evidence and the theory between the two. Now, God said in 1 Corinthians 14:40 that let all things be done decently and in order. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, the Word of God says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. One of the words there, confusion, one of the meanings for that word, it's akastetatos. One meaning is disorder. God is not the author of disorder, but of peace. Peace is irene, and it means wholeness. One of its meanings is wholeness. Therefore, what God is telling us is wholeness, by its definition, is an orderly state. God is not the author of disorder. What God does is orderly. The universe is, in fact, very orderly. The order of the universe puzzles most astronomers and astrophysicists and the physics community at large, because the universe is made of something called fractals, which is precise geometric patterns at all levels of magnification. So if you go to the very smallest particle that men have found so far, there is order there. If you go to the very largest of structures, that if the Big Bang was actually so, should not in fact exist, things like the Great Wall of Galaxies, that is well over 600 million light years in size, there is order there. You can see the line of the Great Wall of galaxies. So universe is milk bubbles in shape. It's like frothy milk. Well, bubbles are very precise geometric patterns. Scientists have a very difficult time explaining how you can have such precise geometric patterns out of such a disorderly event where entropy or the tendency toward disorder exists. Well, the reason is simple. God created it with order. We didn't bang out of disorder. We were created in a very orderly manner, and we were created in Psalm 19 and verse 1 that the heavens should declare the glory of God. Now, Paul Davies, who is a theoretical physicist, made some very interesting statements. He said that all science is founded on the assumption that the physical world is ordered. Yet, we are asked to believe by some scientists that there can be a disorderly event that leads to that order. Science is based on patterns, looking for patterns in the physical world, whether it's patterns of living organisms or patterns of stars or even patterns of behavior. Whatever the type of science is, it's based on patterns, and patterns are very orderly by definition. The very smallest particles function the way they do because of the order that they have. Eliminate the order in an atom and you've changed the atom. It's no longer the same thing. You eliminate the fact that carbon has 6 protons and you no longer have carbon. It's no longer the same thing. Take away carbon's electrons and you no longer have carbon's ability to interact. You no longer have the same thing. The world, the universe, is very orderly. Take away the order from a man's insides and the surgeon's going to need a GPS. The world is very orderly. We have been made in a very orderly structure and function and way. Let all things be done decently and in order. Paul Davies also said this, no law of physics, and this was an excellent statement. Paul Davies, I do not believe, is a creationist. He's a theoretical physicist. But he recognizes from creation that there is design and structure and order and form and function within creation. So, albeit I don't believe he is a creationist, he is someone who's not entirely unsympathetic to the creation account, at least in some realms. But he said this, no law of physics can explain how the universe came to exist unless that law already existed. If the laws of physics came into existence with the universe, they could not explain how the universe came into existence. And by definition, a law of initial conditions cannot come into existence after the origin of the universe. That means that there was something before the universe. Psalm 55 verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the host of them by the breath of His mouth. There was something that existed before even the universe existed. And the universe itself testifies of these things. This is one of the reasons why secular scientists have such a very difficult time explaining how you got something out of nothing. And they come out with theories that require matter in order for certain things to exist, to explain how matter came into existence. In other words, some of the theories require things like gravitation or weak and strong nuclear forces or electromagnetic forces, things that are dependent on the existence of matter, and they say that those forces created matter. Well, that's impossible. That makes no sense. Those forces do not exist without matter. Those forces are defined by matter. They don't define the matter defines them. They don't create the matter creates them. So when they say that these things happen, it is a nonsensical statement. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get away with a way to say we got something out of nothing, which is a violation of one of the laws of science that must have existed before the formation of the universe in order to be explanatory for how the universe was formed. But if that law of science was formed along with the universe, it could not explain its formation. It's a part of the universe, it couldn't have formed it. The child does not form itself, the parents create the child through reproduction. But the child is not able to create itself. Something was there prior to the child. The universe is incapable of forming itself. Something was there prior to the formation of the universe. Just like the Bible says. The Word of God is from everlasting to everlasting. The heavens and the earth were formed by His Word. That's why God spoke them into being. Now, the laws of physics contradict any notion of the Big Bang Theory. And if in 1929, we've talked about this before and we'll mention it briefly again just in case somebody is hearing this message as an isolated unit apart from the other messages in this series. In 1929, Edwin Hubble looked out into the cosmos in his nice little 1929 vintage telescope and saw galaxies that appeared when they were analyzed, the light was analyzed through a spectroscope that were shifted to the red side of the visible spectrum. And because all galaxies appeared red, and red is the color that light waves take on as they are moving away from you, they appear to stretch out, and therefore a stretched out light wave appears red. They said, okay, everything is moving away from everything else. The universe is endlessly expanding, and therefore we know that everything must have started at one point. If you extrapolate back in time, you can trace the point of the Big Bang. Now, if they knew in 1929 what they know today, the Big Bang Theory would never exist. In 1986, Anthony Tyson went to the most sophisticated, or one of the most sophisticated telescopes that was significantly more advanced than Edwin Hubble's. He went down to Chile and he did something astronomers are not supposed to do. Astronomers want to look at things that are light. He wanted to look at something that is dark. He theorized that there is a great deal of dark matter. Matter that emits no light in the universe. And he theorized that along with other scientists because of the way that galaxies behave and stars behave. They do not behave as though they are it. They behave as though there is a great deal more matter out there than actually is, and there's forces such as gravitation interacting between those celestial objects. When he looked out there, he found out it's not so much dark, but dim. Some of it's dark, some of it's dim. And he found 20 billion blue galaxies. Now, if in 1929 Edwin Hubble was able to see the blue galaxies, that Anthony Tyson was able to see in 1986, several years after the acceptance of the Big Bang Theory would have never even been a memory today. The premise for the Big Bang was wiped out, but people still adhere to that premise. Why? Because in their minds it seems to be more scientific than God created the heavens and the earth. Even though we know that it's not any longer a reasonable, rational possibility as an explanation, scientifically speaking. The Word of God says, let all things be done decently in order. Einstein made this statement. He had some postulates. Einstein said that the laws of physics hold in all frames of reference at all times. In other words, no matter where or when you are in the universe, the laws of physics are upheld. Now, scientists are finding that that's not necessarily so with the very small. And this is blowing their minds. And so they come out with things they know violate physics, like string theory. And then they try to rework the theory and rework the theory and rework the theory, because the very small doesn't uphold to the same laws of science as the very big. And the Word of God tells us that God is sovereign and that God deals as He will on all scales. Now, there is much in the universe that we don't understand. One of the things about scientists is they seem to tend to think that they have a grasp on things. Any intellectually honest scientist will tell you we have a grasp on very little. For example, neutrinos. Neutrinos are one of those very small particles that baffle scientists. They didn't even believe that they exist. But now they know they exist because they actually found hardcore evidence of them. The scientist who first came up with the notion of neutrinos was utterly ridiculed. And then they found out he was right. Happens in science a lot like that. He was utterly ridiculed. Neutrinos are passing through your body at this very moment. They can occupy, it seems, two of them can occupy the same point in space at the same time. They are occupying the very matter that you are in, the very matter that is you, they are occupying and passing right through it like you weren't even there. They call them ghost particles. They pass through the earth like the earth isn't there. How is it that Jesus could appear to the disciples and then vanish? How is it that an angel can appear and then vanish? Maybe there is something about the world that we don't understand. Now, the Word of God says that all things were formed by God. The laws of physics tell us, in the law of the conservation of mass, that matter cannot be created and it cannot be destroyed. Yet we are being asked by the scientific community to believe something blatantly unscientific. We're asked to believe a direct violation of the laws of physics, that matter just appeared. And then they say, well, no, there were forces that formed that matter. But you don't have forces without matter. We are told that that is scientific. Yet we see matter all around us. We are told that in the first few milliseconds of the Big Bang, the vast majority of matter that was in that primordial particle that is supposed to have been smaller than an atom, the vast majority of that matter was destroyed. Matter cannot be destroyed. They are telling us that all the matter and energy in the universe came into something that small. These are not satisfying explanations, either in scientific terms or in the terms of common sense. At least in my opinion, these are unintelligent explanations. But that makes sense. If you're going to attack intelligent design, then you must have an unintelligent explanation. Because design, by its very nature, has intelligence. We know that all things left to themselves tend toward entropy. Entropy is a state of disorder. We know this. This is a second law of thermodynamics. It is a physical law. Einstein told us that all laws of physics are upheld. The law of entropy is countered by the evolutionist crowd by saying, and they are saying so truthfully, that entropy can be overcome within a system if you introduce energy from outside of the system. They're half right. Energy itself is meaningless. Energy with intelligence is necessary. In other words, energy cannot itself form order. There has to be something directing that energy in order to form that order. Energy needs information if order is to be established. Yet they are saying that there is no intelligence to give us that information. Yet the information that exists is extremely precise. If you don't believe that, look in the mirror. It's funny how human beings have two eyes in their head. They don't have an eye in their head and an eye in their elbow. Or other places. I think sometimes there are humans that have things in other places. Like, where is your brain? It doesn't seem to be in their heads. We won't go into that. Science supports in its evidence what the scriptures say. There is a great deal of information in the universe. There is a great deal of order. In order for there to be work, there must be order. Get this, in order for there to be energy, there must be order, because energy is required for work. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me." He said that all things were created by His Word. His name is the Word of God. Therefore, there is a source of all energy, and because E equals MC squared, there is also a source of all matter. It is God. This is completely in alignment with the laws of physics. Both laws of thermodynamics agree with this, the first and the second. That there must be a source of energy in order for there to be order, and there must be a direction, information for that energy in order for there to be order. Order does not come from a lack of information. Order is information. Information is conveyed by order. And whether it's information in DNA, or whether it's information in a building the way it is designed, or whether it's the information in a tree, or whether it's the information of the patterns of the galaxies, there is order, and that order conveys information. This is why we can study the universe. because there is information there to be studied. The Big Bang Theory tells us that information came out of non-information. That's not a possibility. Entropy will not allow it. You see, you can use that entropy argument only to such a degree as to you have an external system. But what is the system that is external to the universe that there should be such order in the universe? How do we overcome, as living organisms, the disorder that we tend to? Because our bodies are made in such a way that they can utilize energy, and there is information in our bodies in the form of DNA that tells us how that energy should be utilized. That is in complete agreement with science. The notion that something came out of nothing, the notion that something erupted into an extraordinarily orderly, vast universe to form things such as life, is entirely without foundation in evidence or in reason. It is contrary to scientific law, and one must twist or utterly disregard science in order to establish that explanation. It's like Andrew Lang said, the world that is, the universe that is, does not resemble the theory about its origin. Maybe there's something wrong with your theory. But Scripture is entirely consistent that there was a source to the order, and there was a source to the energy, and that energy was used to establish that order. And that energy and that order came from outside of the system and was poured into the system. And when creation was created, there was a creator. This is entirely scientific. To say otherwise is to fly in the face of science and contradict the scriptures. So once again, the Bible is entirely correct. Amen.